Sunday school time and in the worship service. I appreciate the songs of Zion. And that song that we just sang talks a lot about what we've discussed in Sunday school. I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul, how He brought salvation and He made me whole. I said I wouldn't. I'd just keep it to myself. But I found I couldn't hide what Jesus did impart. What the Lord put inside of me, there was evidence of it that came to the outside. It just showed up on me. This God that moved into me was so big He wouldn't fit, and He just stands out everywhere and shows up on me and in my life. And I'm thankful that He does. I appreciate God and all of His goodness towards us. I appreciate the Lord that He's able to handle our situations and circumstances. He's a God that will change your life, and He has the power to change your circumstance. Amen? He's just that kind of God, and I appreciate that. All right, if there's nothing else, then let's look in the book of Psalms in chapter 107. Psalm 107, and I want to read a few verses to you from this psalm tonight, or today, from verses 25 through 31 of Psalms 107. This is the psalm people remember for verse number 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so that's why people oftentimes remember this psalm. One of my favorite verses from the psalm is in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. That's one of my favorite verses from the psalm. Matter of fact, that's one you probably ought to underline, boldface, italicize, and highlight. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And that's a pretty good lesson. My daddy used to say it differently. He said, hard heads make sore places. And some of you have heard that, and that's exactly right. Proverbs 29:1 said it this way, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And Numbers maybe said it best when it said, be sure your sins will find you out. And that's right, too. But I'm interested this morning in verses 25 through 31 of this psalm. I want to share something with you that I believe will be a help and a blessing to you. Certainly not a complex or complicated thought this morning. And don't know how long I'll preach, but I never do. So, and you don't either. Amen. Sometimes, here recently, I've been real good about getting out early. And then last Sunday, we stayed a while. And that was all right, because I felt like I was preaching right where the Lord wanted me to preach last week. And I never mind preaching long or preaching late if I'm preaching what the Lord told me to preach. I just don't want to be disobedient to Him and be belligerent. I want to try to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. And say everything He wants me to say and not say anything He don't want me to say. We're reading this morning Psalms 107. Stand with us when you find your place in verse 25. Psalms 107, beginning in verse 25 and reading down through verse 31. The Word of the Lord says, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. I'll be preaching from these verses, so if you hold your Bibles open, I'll try to point out some things to you in these verses of the Word of the Lord this morning throughout the message in the Word of God. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me, and I'll just go ahead and tell you what we're preaching on and then give you my introduction and what the Scripture says and what it's about here. But I want to preach, if the Lord will help me this morning, on sovereign intervention in impossible situations. Sovereign intervention in impossible situations. And that's what this passage of Scripture is all about. This is a psalm that is written to praise God for His great work in the lives of all who trust Him. in the midst of the psalm, he talks about how God works in the midst of our storms. God has a role in storms this morning. The Lord does not. He's not ignorant of your storms, nor is He, my friend, unaware of the situation, and nor is He unable to do anything about the storms that you face in life. But the Lord has a role in storms. It may seem, and you may think, whenever you're in the midst of your storm, that He is absent when you're in a troubled place. But He's not absent when you're in a troubled place. He's active. He's not absent in your storm. He's active in your storm, friend. And when the disciples were on the sea and it was tossed in Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 41, they thought that Jesus was absent because He was asleep on a pillow. But they learned that He has a role in the storms when He rose from His sleep and raised His hand and rebuked the sea and said, "Peace be still," and there was a great calm. Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through 32, they thought that Jesus was absent while they were in the midst of the sea, toiling and rowing, and had just about ready to die. They were just about ready, friend, to give up all hope of surviving the storm. But they learned that Jesus has a role in the storm when He came walking to them on the sea. And Peter walked back to Jesus on the water, and then both of them walked back to the boat. And when they were come into the ship, the Bible said, there was a great calm. They learned that God has a role in the storm. You, my friend, all of them thought that God was nowhere to be found in their storm in Acts chapter 27, except for one man. Everybody on the boat thought that it was a lost cause, and that God was nowhere around, that the Lord was not working, that God didn't care, except for one man. But Paul said, "The Lord has stood by me this night," and he said, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And they learned that God has a role in the storm. I tell you, God plays a role in all of our storms. He intervenes when things look impossible. He operates and works when nothing else will. The Lord does not forsake us in the midst of our storm. He'll be with you in the sixth trouble, does not forsake you in the seventh trouble. He's a faithful God, and He works in a faithful way. The Lord is not afraid of your problems this morning. The Lord does not run when He sees your troubles. He's not frightened or intimidated by your giants. He's not worried about your storms. My friend, He is not taken aback and frightened or scared of your mountains that you have to climb or the battles that you face. But the Lord is faithful, and He has a role to play in the midst of your storm. My friend, there is sovereign intervention in impossible situations. You see, impossibilities don't mean nothing to God. He and Mary, whenever Jesus was to be born, and Gabriel comes to her and says that you're going to have a child, she said, "How can this be, seeing that I know not a man?" He said, "Well, men, it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." Jesus said unto us, "Said nothing shall be impossible unto you." You see, God works in impossible situations. My friend, He has sovereign intervention in impossible situations. You don't know what I'm going through, preacher. You're exactly right. I don't know. Chances are nobody else knows, but God knows. And the Lord intervenes, and the Lord operates in the midst of impossible situations. I want us to see that this morning in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to see, friend, and notice the source of the storm in verse 25. It said, "For He commandeth, and it raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." Notice this storm referenced here came from the Lord Himself. It was not a work of the devil, my friend. It was not a work of the world. It was not a work of the Christian's enemy. But rather it said that He's the one that commanded. He's the one that brought the storm. He's the one that caused the winds to come. He's the one that made the waves toss about. I'll tell you, not every trouble we face in life is of the devil. Some of the things that we face in life are from the Lord. Sometimes God sends things or allows things to come into our way to develop us, to challenge us, and to test our faith, my friend, or to show us sometimes what we're made of. You see, you don't know how strong your anchor is until you've been in a storm. Amen. You don't know how you can talk about how you brag about how solid your ship is, how strong your anchor is. You'll never really know until you're first in a storm. It's in a storm where you learn what
what you're made of. And not all the storms of life come from the devil or the world. My friend, a lot of them are sent unto us by way of God. All of them are allowed by the Lord, friend, because if nothing comes through unto us that the Lord does not first approve and deal with. You see, it was God who told Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22. That was not a test or a storm sent by the devil or of the world, my friend, or of the enemies of Abraham. It was God that said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, upon that mountain and offer him unto me. You don't think that was a storm in the life of Abraham? Surely it was. And my friend, it broke his heart and it worried him. And it was not the work of the devil or of the world. It was the Lord that brought the storm in Abraham's life. But the same Lord that brought the storm was the same Lord that calmed the storm. And my friend intervened when he was about to take the life of his son. And the angel said to him, do this thing. Said that the Lord now has seen that you withhold nothing from him. And he looked and saw a ram with his horns caught in the bushes. And he offered that ram according to prophecy. And the Lord shall provide himself a sacrifice. A lamb for the sacrifice, friend. It was God that told Abraham to offer Isaac on the altar. It was God who sent fiery serpents among the people of Israel. In Numbers chapter 21, these serpents didn't come from the Egyptians. They didn't come from the devil. The Bible said, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among them to try them. Sometimes the Lord sends a fiery trials, fiery serpents, difficulties of life, troubles and tribulations and circumstances, my friend, our way. And we learn that God has sent the storm. But the same Lord that sent the fiery serpent also told Moses, said, make you a brazen serpent, likened to those fiery serpents that were there, and raised it up in the midst of people, and said, everyone that's bitten, if they look at that fiery serpent that's lifted up on a pole, and that brass serpent that's lifted up on a pole, said, he shall live. And then Jesus said in John chapter 3, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he did teach us in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so the same God that sent the serpents has sent the antidote for the poison. I'll tell you, sometimes the Lord sends fiery trials our way. But count it all joy when you're falling into diverse temptations. Oh, my friend, it is the Lord who works these things. He's the source of many of our storms. And so there's no need to fight the storm. My friend, but trust the Savior in the midst of your storm. It was God that sent Abraham to offer Isaac. It was God that sent him the fiery serpent. I'll say it was God that offered Job to Satan to try him. You remember what he said? The Bible said whenever the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, he asked Job, he said, Satan, he said, where have you been? He said, I've been roaming about to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom I may devour. He said, have you considered, hast thou considered my servant Job? It was God that brought it up to the devil. It was God that said, I'll let down the hedge. It was God that said, you can wreak havoc in his life, just don't touch his body. And on the second event, he said, you can touch his body. Satan said, yeah, he hadn't cursed you yet. But skin for skin, if you let me touch his body, then he'll curse you. And the Lord said, okay, but you can't have his life. You see, God directed the storm, but God also restrained the storm. He's the one that set the limitation for how far Satan could go. I'm telling you, the same God that sends the storm is the same God that controls the storm. He sets the limitations for the storm. He's the source of it, my friend, but say, he is the source of it, but he's also the solution for it. And I'm thankful that the Lord is in control of the storms. He has a role to play in the storms. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter said, you're rejoicing because you're in manifold temptations, that you're experiencing great heaviness. It's just a season. But he said, the reason you're rejoicing in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said you're rejoicing in the midst of your storm because you understand that it's the Lord sending these things to try you, to test you, and to prove to the world that the faith you have is real. Oh, my friend, he said in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's the Lord that's working in us, my friend. And listen, don't blame all your storms on the devil. He gets enough credit for stuff he's not doing. A lot of times those storms come from the Lord. And my friend, they're sent not to destroy you, but to develop you. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, listen, the same storm, the same hurricane that brings the wind is the same, my friend, storm that also brings the rain. And without the rain, the grass can't grow and the trees won't flourish and the plants won't bring forth their fruit. Hey, I mean, it's that same storm that brings the wind that also brings the rain. And listen, it's also in our lives the same storms that oftentimes beat against us and cause us hardship and difficulties that also feed us. In the cedars of Lebanon, the Bible talks about them in the book of Psalms chapter 92. Those cedars of Lebanon planted by the Lord, the Bible says. And the lesson in those days and in the, even now, into those mountains with my friend of Lebanon that have great snowstorms in the wintertime. And when the snowstorms had come, the weight of the snow would get so heavy, it break the limbs of those cedars. And the reason they continue to grow and stand because they were so planted so closely together, growing in the limestone of that mountain. Oh, my friend, that whenever they got heavy with snow, they'd lean on one another. And that's what we do in the midst of a storm. We lean on one another. But listen to this. That limestone, if it is released, if the minerals and such in it are released, my friend, immediately and quickly, they're strong enough that they'll kill the cedar tree dead. But if they're released slowly and over time, they'll feed the roots of the cedar so that it'll grow and flourish better in that ground than in any other. You see, what's happening was God sent the snow on them by mountainsides. Had He sent rain, it would have released those minerals too quickly and the trees would surely have died. But the snow that broke the limbs in the wintertime melted in the spring and slowly released the minerals necessary to feed the roots. The lesson to us is the same snow and the same storm God sends in our winter times of life. The same snow that breaks the limbs feeds the roots. The same storms that's difficult for us to weather today is what makes us stronger tomorrow. I tell you, all the storms don't come from the devil. And my friend, He's the source of many of them. And He's working His purpose in us. It's the Lord that sent this storm. I got to move on this morning. I got about 7, 8, 10, 12, 14 things more to cover. And I'm stuck on this one, the source of the storm. But secondly, this morning, notice the severity of the struggle. In verses 26 through 27, it says they mount up to the heaven. This is these waves and such. As they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. I tell you, this is a severe storm. We're not talking about light affliction here. We're talking about a major storm. He said they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. And I tell you, the struggle was just about more than these folks recorded knew how to handle. They were, according to the Bible, at their wits' end. They were at the end of their mind. They're just about to lose their mind. Didn't know where else to go and what else to do and who else to turn to. You ever been at your wit's end? You ever felt like you was going crazy? That everybody else was sane and you was the one that was nuts? I feel like that a lot. Matter of fact, most of the time. And then I decide that it's everybody else that's crazy and I'm the only one's got good sense. The problem is I don't feel no better about that than I do the other way around. Because then you realize you're surrounded by all them crazy people. Amen. I tell you, but there comes a time when you get at your wit's end. It's just about more than you can handle. And my friend, listen, your troubles will inhabit your dreams in every waking moment. And my friend, it's a concern. consumes your pulse. That is just about more than you know what to do with. Others don't understand. You don't always understand yourself. And my friend, in trouble's on every side. Oh, listen, and these storms were so great. They didn't even know what to do or how to react. It had to so, my friend, intoxicated them. That was so great. It so overwhelmed them. They were staggering about like a drunken man. It was just that they couldn't keep balance in their lives, in other words. There was no way for them to keep balance or any sense of normalcy. It was overwhelming, the situation they faced. The truth is that life is not always smooth sailing, friend. And some things can just about bring you down to your knees. It can overwhelm you. We usually think when we get there that our case is unusual. That nobody else has ever had it like this before. That nobody else ever gets saved. And you look at the preacher and the deacon and other folks down at the church, and you think, surely they never have nothing like that. They've always got it together. They've always seemingly got all the right answers. They're always smiling. Do you not know that sometimes behind that smile is a puddle of tears? And many times behind that face of confidence and faith, my friend, that they use, and the man of God and other leaders of the church use to try to encourage you, they find themselves somewhere in the closet at home, broken in pieces and begging God to give them help so they might be able to help others. You realize, friend, that it's not. Your situation is not unusual. Your situation is not abnormal. The truth is, your situation is normal. Everybody's got problems. In this life you shall have tribulation. Oh, my friend, Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. I tell you, it'd be unusual if you never got to the place where you were at your wit's end. I tell you, listen, friend, you probably ain't half as crazy as what you think you are, and you're surely probably not half as crazy as what everybody else thinks you are. I know I'm not half as crazy as what people think I am. That's exactly right, friend. And I surely ain't half as crazy as I think I am sometimes. I tell you, the troubles of life just oftentimes will carry you to your wit's end, expecting it's normal.
Doesn't mean you're some sort of crazy person. It doesn't mean that you're not serving God. It doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love you. And it does not mean that God's forgotten about you. It does not mean, my friend, that you're some sort of a lunatic, that nobody else has ever been in that shape. Nobody else has ever felt it. Man, it just means you're normal. That's all it means. And normal ain't always a good place to be in. I mean, I find out more and more than what I see out of people that I don't want to be normal. Amen. But listen, the normal is trouble. Normal is problems. Normal is storms. Normal is issues. Hey, friend, listen. If you crawl out of bed tomorrow morning, you're going to have problems. And if you don't, you're still going to have problems. Amen. That's exactly right. They may be different problems, but you're going to have problems. You can do like Howard Hughes and lock yourself in a room and lock everybody else out. And my friend, die alone if you want to. But you're going to have problems even if you do that. The reality is normal means you're going to have problems.
Right. And sometimes they're going to be overwhelming, and you don't need to think too hard about yourself. And listen, a lot of times we're hard on ourselves whenever something like that comes. And if we don't react just the way we think we ought to or should or want to our trouble, we hang our head low and say, I tell you, I must not be much of a Christian. If I was much of a Christian, this wouldn't bother me. If I was much of a Christian, I could just plow my way on through this and keep smiling through. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen, hey, just because you're a Christian does not mean that you won't get overwhelmed by your troubles. It doesn't mean that it won't seem huge. And listen, you know what the hardest part of some of them is? Most of us can handle just about anything for a moment. It's the stuff that just lingers and lingers and lingers. It's like a hair in a biscuit, man. You just can't get rid of it. I mean, just lingers and lingers. And maybe it's gotten better and somebody said to look like you'd be happy. Your problem, your situation, your sickness, your trouble, it's all better. It's gotten better. And it has gotten better. But what's eating you alive is it's lingering just a little bit at it. It's lingering and that's eating you up. I tell you, the reality is that troubles work like that, and it's tough, man. It's tough. And it doesn't mean that
you're crazy. And it doesn't mean you've lost faith in God. And it does not mean that you're not a good Christian. And it does not mean that you ought to criticize yourself. Just come to the reality of knowing that everybody's got them and they're always a problem and a pest. And my friend, it's going to be difficult till we reach heaven, sure. Amen. That's right. When this one's over, another one's coming along. It doesn't mean you're abnormal. It just means you're normal.
Amen. Don't feel so rotten about yourself. It just means you're normal. There is some severities in our struggles. The source of the storm, the severity of the struggle. But then I want you to notice in verse 28, the sound of their supplication. Verse 28 says, then they cry unto the Lord with their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, they did the right thing in the midst of their troubles. It was overwhelming. They were at their wits' end, but they did the right thing. Oh, when you're in trouble, some call friends, some call family, some call neighbors, some call physicians, some call on the government. But these folks called on the Lord. Amen. I ask you this morning, friend, do you pray when trouble overwhelms you? Do you call on God when trouble's bigger than what you know how to handle? Sometimes it's hard to pray. Sometimes, my friend, you can be so convinced that things will never get better that you find it no use to pray. But that's when you really need it the most. Amen. I tell you, it's not always easy to pray, but it's always best to pray. So when you feel like praying, pray. When you don't feel like praying, pray. When you feel like you can't pray, pray. Oh, listen, friend. Prayer's as big as God is. Prayer's as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. So don't ever give up. Just pray. Just pray. Oh, my friend, the sound of their supplication. That sweet hour of prayer. Just a little talk with Jesus. I tell you, my friend, it was then that God brought them out of their distresses. Hey, it didn't say necessarily that He calmed the storm, that He brought them out of their distresses. Hey, my friend, they may have still been in the storm, but sometimes He calmed the storm, and sometimes He calms me. And they called on God, and He brought them out of their distresses.
Right.
The sound of their supplication. Verse 29, notice the Savior brings a solution. Everybody with me this morning? The Savior brings a solution. Verse 29, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves they're ever still. Man, He's got a track record of this. The Lord's got a track record of doing just this. Children of Israel, Exodus 14, leaving out of Egypt, Pharaoh's army hot on the trail. Going to kill every single one of them if he can get hands on them. They're going to die in the wilderness. Behind them is Pharaoh's army. Beside them is the wilderness. And in front of them is the Red Sea. And they don't know what they're going to do. And they said, Moses, did you just bring us out here in the wilderness that we'd die in this old desert place? And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he raised out his rod over the sea. And the Bible said the Lord parted it. And listen, He parted it and congealed. The Bible even said in Psalm that He congealed the waters. And my friend, made it like jelly on either side. And they stood there quivering and shaking, my friend. And the children of Israel crossed on dry land. One preacher said it's so dry they found a catfish in the bottom of the sea had a tick on it. Amen. I tell you, it is dry. And they crossed over on dry land and went across to the other side. And then when Pharaoh was saying to do so, and my friend, through that same river, the waters collapsed on him, and he and his army was drowned in the midst of that Red Sea. I tell you, the Lord has power. He's got a track record, my friend, of having power over the sea. He parted the Jordan River while it was flowing out of his banks. And Joshua 3:17, He backed up the rivers of Jordan, amen, and stopped it, and the children of Israel crossed. It was swollen out of his banks, the Bible says. He calmed the sea twice for the disciples, and He rescued Paul from shipwreck as well. And He told us of a place in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And there was no more sea. I tell you, my friend, He's got a track record of having power over the sea, of having power, my friend, over your storm, of having authority over the waves that crash into your life. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I tell you, than we need. Amen. Verse 30, notice the solace of their silence. You know what solace is, don't you? Peace, tranquility. The solace of their silence. Verse 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. Now you could take that out of context and preach all over that, couldn't you? I'd be glad if the folks was quiet too. Amen. Then they'd be glad because they'd be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. That fellow sailing on the difficult stormy sea of life. Found a difficult spot, storms rough. But the Lord calmed the sea and slowly brought him into a haven of rest. And he said these people are happy. They're rejoicing. They're glad because of the quiet that followed the storm. If you ever been through some things that finally when it is all over with, you just took a deep breath and said, thank God that's passed. It may come again, but thank God that that's passed. Oh, my friend. And maybe I'm going to have to go right back out of that same stormy sea in just a little while. But for the moment, I'm sitting in a haven. For a moment, I'm in the sanctuary. Listen, that's why we call this the sanctuary, by the way. This place where we are right here, this is a haven. I mean, the things of life and the storms of life and the troubles of the world are to be left out the doors. And for a little while, we come into this place on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival times. I'm out for a few times a week. Come this place, and here we find a sanctuary, and here we find a haven, and here we find quiet from that raging storm of life. I tell you, I'm glad for the sanctuary. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I tell you, this place is a sanctuary from the storm, and I'm glad to have a place of quiet and solace in the silence this morning. Thank God. Somebody said, well, this church sure is loud. Ain't a whole lot of silence around here. Yeah, but you're not hearing the same noises you heard out there. Amen. And that's what I'm glad silent this morning. Amen. I want the devil to know he don't have a place here. I want him to know he ain't welcome here. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. The roar of the sea was past. It brought them through their trouble. Quiet and peace of God's work in our lives. My friend, it's a treasure. That's why we sing songs like peace, peace, wonderful peace. I tell you, only God can truly give us peace. Right. Peace in the midst of the storm. Solace of the silence. Then finally, verse 31, I want you to see this morning, the saints laud the Savior. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You see, the redeemed of the Lord, those who have trusted Him through their storms, those who know that grace has brought us safe this far, and grace that will lead us home. We're the ones that call on others to praise God. We praise the Lord ourselves, and we encourage others to do the same. I wonder, friend, do you know what it is to be in the middle of an impossible situation? An impossible situation. An impassable crossing. A sea of life that's stormy and tumultuous. You're too far out in it to turn around and go back to one side. You're too far from the other side to make it on your own. And the storm's so heavy, you're just toiling and rowing. You're working hard and doing all you can and getting nowhere in a hurry. Seem like all you can do is just fight to keep your head above waters. Trouble compassed about you. Overwhelmed you. No man, it seemed, cared for your soul. Falling on your right hand, they fall on your left. And you need God to intervene. You've tried to fix it, but you can't fix it. Some of it ain't never going away. It's just going to be there forever. And that discourages me whenever I get in situations like that. As long as what I can feel like something's going to get better and it's going to change, see, I can handle that. It's the stuff that I say to myself, and I realize, and it's most of the time right. It ain't never going to change. It ain't going to get no better. This is it. This is just the rotten way it's going to be till we get to heaven. Those are the things that just eat me up from the inside out. It does you too if you be honest about it. Shrug your shoulders and say, well, I guess I just got to accept it. One of the hardest things in life is not to change things that can be changed. It's to accept the things that cannot be changed and to trust God through them. Are you hearing me this morning? It's tough to accept the things that cannot be changed and to trust God through them. That's tough. But I'm going to tell you, God is able to see you through. I thank God for His sovereign intervention in my impossible situations. When I'm at my wit's end. You may feel overwhelmed this morning. Come on, with song. I'm finished preaching. You may feel overwhelmed. You may have troubles bigger than what you know how to handle. You may have depression, distress, discouragement that nobody else understands. God knows. Other folks think you're crazy. That's right. And you know they think you're crazy.
Yes.
The people that love you the most just want you to stop being the way you have been. Anybody ever heard that? I just love you. I want you to stop being the way you've been. But Jesus understands your troubles. Jesus knows all about your struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He never misjudges you. Did you hear what I just said? Even the people that love you the most when you're in the middle of a storm, they most of the time misjudge you. Not on purpose. They just don't understand. But He knows exactly the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows what you really need to survive your storm and calm your sea. But if you're going to get it, you're going to need to call on Him. My question is this morning, would you call on Him? Would you trust Him? Would you lean on His sovereign intervention in your impossible situation? Or will you just get your paddle out and keep beating the waters and get nowhere in a hurry, toiling and rowing, trying to keep your head above water? You need to call on the Lord. And when you feel like you can't pray no more, keep praying. And when you feel like today that you've risen above the storm and I got it whipped, and then in the morning you wake up and the waves are up over your head all over again, don't say, oh, I must be some sort of rotten human being. If I really loved God, it wouldn't be like this. Oh, no. Just understand you're not abnormal. You're normal. Find your place again. Get back on your knees. And say, Lord, it's me again. And I got to talk to you about this thing that's eating me up. I got to talk to you about my circumstance. And friend, trust Him the last mile of the journey home. He'll work in your life when nothing else will. Please stand if you need to pray this morning. I wish you'd come. Find your place around this mourner's bench this morning. If you need to talk to the Lord, I don't know what your struggle is, what your storm is. If I knew it, I might not understand it. I would guarantee you most of you wouldn't understand mine. That's right. And you know how I know that? Because I wouldn't understand it if I wasn't in it. And chances are, once I get out of this one and go into another, I won't understand the last one. I mean, I look back on the things that bothered me then, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't understand why it bothered me now. But it was eating me alive then. Whatever storm you're in now, see, you won't even understand it later on, much less somebody else. But God understands. And He'll help you this morning. If you need to pray, would you come? So you're singing, others need to pray, some are already praying. If you need to talk to the Lord this morning, cast all your cares on Him. Cast all your cares on Him. He cares for you. Cast in all your cares on Him. He cares for you. When you feel like it's no use to pray, still pray. Sovereign intervention in your impossible situation. Thank you. about it this morning. While some are praying, you need to pray.